ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. This is your election headquarters, the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com with 203 days until the presidential election. Wow. It is an absolutely loaded news day. I mean, loaded. Let me tell you what we have coming up. We've got so many political developments right now that my head is spinning. Whether it's Joe Biden or whoever runs his Twitter account, whoever runs the White House, lying about the IRS. And I guess Joe Biden did actually say that if you make $400,000, then you're not going to see your taxes go up. He lied. But Biden was actually speaking at a campaign event today, so we'll have news. Folks, this is so pathetic. This was so pathetic. And as I'm sending the crew the videos, because Biden is speaking while I'm aggregating all the videos and sending them to the crew, and a new video of Biden slurring and fumbling and bumbling and murmuring just keeps hitting the timeline. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I don't know. We got about 2.5 minutes. It's the lowlights, if you will, of Joe Biden fumbling and bumbling through a campaign speech in Pennsylvania. I mean, folks, it's bad. The guy can't talk. I mean, look at him. But then he lies and says, oh, if you're making $400,000, you're not going to have your taxes raised. Well, we have the numbers. The IRS is actually targeting people that are making $200,000 or less. And everybody's taxes went up. Actually. So we've got all that and more dealing with the taxes. Then you've got the FISA bill, as we're learning more about this absolute disaster that they voted to continue the illegal spying yesterday. So they just wanted you to know, yeah, we're going to illegally spy on you. And even though we messed it up and we voted for it the first time, we're going to vote for it again, just so you know. Because we're that dirty. We're that crooked. Our oath to the Constitution means that little in Congress. But the other developments, the Republicans have officially moved to impeach Mayorkas. Mike Johnson getting behind it. He needs it badly. He needs the political points. Not sure that's going to save him because it looks like there's going to be some House Republicans moving to vacate Speaker Johnson as well. And they're kind of gathering some momentum and some numbers. What's going to be strange is if and when this happens, it might be the Democrats that save Mike Johnson. Wow, what a disaster that would be. Folks, we're starting to border now. And again, I'm not saying the move to remove McCarthy was the wrong move, but we're getting close to Mike Johnson being worse than McCarthy is where we're getting now. And if the Democrats swoop in to save Mike Johnson's speakership, that might be what tips the scales. And Mike Johnson will end up being worse than Kevin McCarthy. And with some of these other spending bills he's proposing, you might just agree with that. So we got all that. We got some other Trump news as he's in court and some other developments there. We've got the same story now where the Democrats have to control your energy grid. They have to tell you how much you can use AC or can't use AC, how much you can use power or when or where or how you can use electricity. Yep, this is all coming. They have bills proposed. We're going to get more into that. I got 20 plus videos, and just as we predicted yesterday, Israel had an airstrike in Lebanon today. So that one was easy to predict. So we got all that, folks. It's an absolutely loaded show. Oh, and we're going to go on the ground to New York City, where you have thousands of African migrants asking for money and jobs. I'm all jacked up on 2 scoops of Turbo Force and ready for this loaded news transmission, the fastest 3 hours on the internet, and we're going to do our best to get through all of it. The breaking news at this hour, the Republicans have moved to impeach Mayorkas. This is a desperation move of Speaker Mike Johnson. He has really been losing support of the Republicans in the House. He's been losing support of the Republican voters. Much of the anti-establishment conservative media. And now he's flirting with being worse than Kevin McCarthy. You can believe that. As multiple Republicans are now motioning to vacate Speaker Mike Johnson. But Democrats are flirting with the idea of saving him as Speaker. Boy, what does that tell you? So we're going to hear from Marjorie Taylor Greene on this. We're going to hear from Thomas Massie on this. Not to get conspiratorial right out of the gates, but you really have to sit here and analyze the speakership of Mike Johnson. A guy who got chosen to be speaker after multiple failed votes for other candidates, didn't even seem to want it. Seemed like neutral coming in, but was able to get the votes. Then essentially stabs the Republicans in the back on policy decisions, on bills and funding decisions. Virtually all the issues we had with Kevin McCarthy, Mike Johnson then brought right back to the speaker. But to get conspiratorial, he flip-flops on the FISA bill, and he basically says, okay, well, they showed me something in a secret meeting, and so now I have to support it. Well, what did they show you, Mike? Tell me, why can't the American people know what Mike Johnson was shown that changed his decision on the illegal spying? Because it was Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson could have stopped this with his vote. He could have stopped it. He didn't. He says he saw things that made him decide to continue the warrantless spying. He had no choice. What did you see, Speaker? And why can't you share it with the American people? If it's so important, why can't you let us know what you saw, Mike? Why can't the American people know what you saw that made you vote to continue warrantless searches, seizures, and spying on the American people? What did you see, Mike? And why can't you tell us? Then he proposes more spending for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan and the South China Sea. Billions of dollars. About $60 billion to be exact. And then, when the Republicans are flirting with the idea of vacating his seat, the Democrats say, we might come and save his seat. So, if we're getting conspiratorial, do the Democrats own his ass? It's really sad, isn't it? It's really sad. What else am I left to assume about Mike Johnson? He goes against everything that were the reasons why we vacated Speaker McCarthy and supported that move. He continues all the funding of countries that have nothing to do with us but won't secure the border. He votes to continue the warrantless search, seizure, and spying on the American people. And now the Democrats might save his role as Speaker? What else am I left to do but speculate? Because he won't tell me why he made the decision to vote to continue the warrantless spying. So I have to speculate. And if I'm speculating, I would say he's doing everything the Democrats want him to do. But I don't have to speculate. Because now they've came out and essentially confirmed it. So now at this point, I think you have to vacate. And in the past, I said there's just no point this late in the season. Finish the season, you know, you're having a bad season and you got a bad quarterback, well, that's your quarterback. You just finished the season. It's going to be a rough ride. You're probably going to lose a lot of games, but that's your quarterback, so just go with it. This late in the season, nothing really going to change. But now you almost have to do it just to see what's going to happen. The problem is you potentially have a situation, and this is why it would be so shocking. You could have a situation where the Democrats can end up getting a speaker, but if they view it that they already have the speaker, then isn't that why you motion to vacate? If Mike Johnson is already essentially a Democrat Speaker of the House, then what do you have to lose now? Nothing. You have nothing to lose. So that's what that shows me. Now, let's get an update of this. Thomas Massie says, I just told Mike Johnson in conference that I'm co-sponsoring the motion to vacate that was introduced by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. He should pre-announce his resignation, as Boehner did, so we can pick a new speaker without ever being without a GOP speaker. So there's some strategy here. Here's Mike Johnson in the halls of the Capitol speaking with the media about this in clip two. Sorry, Thomas Massie speaking to the media. Thomas Massie.
There's only one person right now who can stop us from going into what happened last fall, and that's Mike Johnson. He's cleaning the barn, that's obvious. He had three things to do. He wanted to do an omnibus that broke all the spending records. He wanted to do FISA without warrants, and I wants to do Ukraine. Those are the three things. There are people riding him like a horse here. They don't care when the horse collapses. I do, because it's going to throw our confidence into turmoil. If he would do what John Boehner did, when John Boehner had at least announced that he was cleaning the barn and said, I'm leaving, whatever it was, 8 weeks hence, or when you find somebody to replace me. If Speaker Johnson would do that, we could go without ever being speakerless. And we can be in control of it in the conference. But I'm afraid he is dead set, and the people who are pushing him are dead set on riding that horse until it collapses.
Congressman, can you clarify
exactly?
You want
him to resign?
Yes,
I asked him to resign.
When did you ask him to?
He said he would not. And then I said, well, you're the one who's going to put us into this. Because the motion is going to get called, okay? Does anybody doubt that? The motion will get called, and then he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy. And I have told him this in private, like, weeks ago. So, I mean,
when did you ask him to resign?
Yeah, when did you ask
right
him
in there. Just today.
So, Congressman, help us understand that. If he's not resigning, are then you going to push a motion to vacate this week?
No, I'm not going to call the motion to vacate. But I will tell you that if it is called, there will be a lot of people who vote for it.
How does a motion to vacate against Speaker Johnson help the country?
Some would say we'd be rudderless, but we have a rudder. We're steering everything toward what Chuck Schumer wants. There has not been a change. I mean, if the country likes Chuck Schumer, then they should like what Speaker Johnson's accomplished
the
country
in the
House.
Divided.
Who would be their successor here?
Hey, there's no shortage of people in that
room. Yeah, but we went through this last fall. It took 22 days.
And then we ended up with some guy nobody in America ever heard of. Right?
So there's always
somebody.
But are you willing to do that again?
No, I'm trying to prevent
Thomas Massie.
Right. Remember, let's start back at the beginning.
Yes, please.
If somebody calls in a motion to vacate on the floor, then we, and it succeeds, which it will, now you have no speaker. And then you have a temporary speaker, and it's a hot mess. If, like when Boehner left, Speaker Johnson would announce that he is leaving as soon as we get another speaker, and that we can commence finding that person, or at a certain date certain in the future he will leave, then we still have a speaker. We have Speaker Johnson, who can pass all these wonderful messaging bills, do the things that we do. We can have subpoenas. The committees can still meet. And we don't have what happened last fall. He is the only one that can put us on that path right now.
And what if Democrats?
Is your motion to vacate, Brett, conditional on anything? What would Johnson have to do? Would it be changing parts of this legislation, adding border security? Is it conditional to anything, or will it just happen?
I have no red lines. It's regardless of what I want, it's going to happen. And when it does happen, it's going to pass. The motion to vacate will pass. And so is there something he could do now? I don't know, possibly. But right now he's talking about some rule that 20 people are already pre-announced they're voting against, like maybe a dozen people.
What if Democrats come to save him here?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
There are many of your Republican colleagues.
And by the way, they would have to save him in the motion to vacate on the floor.
Yeah.
He can prevent all of that by resigning.
Why are you so confident that he would lose that vote?
The motion to vacate
vote?
Because I've talked to people, and I've also talked to people out in America, and they've seen, number one, he spent more in the omnibus than Nancy Pelosi spent. He's violated the 72-hour rule. He reauthorized warrantless spying. In fact, expanded that program. And now he's going for the Kentucky Derby's May 4th. I got to use an analogy here. He's going for the trifecta, the triple crown. He is going to pass the Ukraine bill that most Republicans in America are against.
Why not call it up and make it privileged right now?
Oh, you're late to the discussion.
There are many of your Republican colleagues, including those in the Freedom Caucus, who just came out from this meeting frustrated, angry, because they don't want to relive what you all had to go through in October. And I understand your reasoning,
right,
saying that, you know, may be able to find a conservative speaker. But even those members, even Freedom Caucus, says it's unlikely any of you all will be able to agree and find
That's a long question.
Republican.
That's a long question. Which part of it do you want me to answer? Because I didn't say anything about a conservative speaker.
So then who are you looking for?
We need a speaker who is not doing everything Chuck Schumer wants.
But a consensus or moderate Republican might have to do that.
I think the only way that
rely on Democrats too.
I think the only way that Chuck Schumer gets the message that he can't roll every speaker we send over there is every speaker he rolls is no longer speaker.
So are you advocating don't move forward with the motion to vacate until there's a replacement you guys agree on? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to find a path. Like, I don't control the timing of a motion to vacate. Speaker Johnson has more control over that than I do, depending on his actions, and I don't know what people's red lines are. But what I'm trying to do is provide a path where it becomes obvious to him that he doesn't have the votes. I think it's obvious to him privately. I think he's just plowing ahead and seeing how many of these goalposts he can pass before he's no longer speaker.
But if Congressman Green brought the motion, forced the motion as privileged, and brought it up for a vote in the next few days, would you vote for it if there was no successor?
If she brought it up, I would vote for it, and a lot of people would.
How does this help Republicans win, keep the chamber in November? How does this play into the election? Does this hurt?
Our base. I think the polls are correct. They show that Trump is likely to win. And I've heard that confirmed behind closed doors by people who have credibility. But they also say we're likely to lose the House. And people are so tired of the betrayal in the House. And we've had two big betrayals with the third one to come. So if people see that somebody in the House, that not all Republicans are giving in and throwing in the towel and going along with Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer and Merrick Garland and Mayorkas, then they could be inspired to vote for people who are running in the general election as Republicans for the House.
All right,
we'll have more follow-up on that. First, here's CNN reporting immediately after that exchange.
And, of course, just one member. That's all it takes to actually call for a vote seeking the speaker's ouster here. The question is, will Marjorie Taylor Greene does go this route, will there be enough support to drive him from the speakership? A number of Democrats are indicating that they will vote to save Mike Johnson, especially if he moves ahead on a Ukraine aid package that is similar to the plan that did pass the Senate. So some of the details are still yet to be hashed out here.
So let's hash this all out. Let's digest this now. So Mike Johnson is set to be vacated. The only thing that can stop that is him resigning, which is what he should do, which would be the honorable move. That way the Republicans can still control who they want to be speaker, and you wouldn't have the chaos that we had before when they ousted Kevin McCarthy. Now, there's real no indicator what way Mike Johnson would go. You just you'd have to go off what you've seen from him in public, which is he seems steadfast, like he's not going anywhere. He's having press conferences with President Trump, getting Trump's endorsement. But he obviously is, he's facing removal by hook or by crook. So he's done. He's basically a political dead duck now. And so maybe that's why Thomas Massie is saying, well, he's just moving forward with everything. And so here's the new proposed foreign aid bill. I mean, folks, this is just insane. And by the way, Zelensky now goes on PBS and is just begging for money. And basically he's to the point of desperation where he's admitting now that actually this is the U.S.'s war against Russia. So I don't know if that's some weird, like, end around, like, blackmail or like, you know, public warning to D.C. or to the Biden regime. But Zelensky basically goes on PBS and says, this is actually the United States war against Russia. You guys are funding it. You guys are wanting us to do this for NATO. And if you don't back us, now we're just going to be crushed. And so you better give us this money or this is what's going on. And that's Zelensky during interviews, I guess, realizing that he's basically been put in the trash compactor. And so he's just looking for a way out. And he's saying, no, the U.S. better give us more money and more weapons because this is your war. But now that you've lost this war against Russia, now we're set to get wiped off the map, even though there's already been millions of people dead. But to me, that's kind of the final act of Zelensky. He's in the trash compactor, folks, and he knows it. He was set up to fail by D.C. He's done his part. Ukraine was the rat hole for money laundering and weapons laundering. Yeah, see, and he's looking at the camera, and he's like, hey, you guys, this is your war. You're looking at me to try to beat Russia. This, you started this, not me. You better give me more money. So here comes Mike Johnson. And it doesn't even matter at this point. $40 billion here, $50 billion there, $60 billion there, $10 billion there, $100 billion here, $300 billion. It doesn't change anything. And all that money, all those weapons just end up on the black market. So now Mike Johnson introduced in the latest spending package $95 billion, which includes $48 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, $2 billion for the Red Sea, and $2.5 billion for Taiwan, zero for the border. So this is Mike Johnson's last flailing dead duck effort to get more money in. Now, let's go back to what Thomas Massie is saying. Chuck Schumer basically runs Congress. He's not shy about it either. He's one of the dirtiest bastards in the history of the United States Congress. He's as crooked as the nose on the Wicked Witch of the West. He's dirty Chuck Schumer. And he runs Congress. And it couldn't be more clear, and Massie gets it, and that's what he's trying to say to the American people. What's the difference between a Democrat speaker and Mike Johnson at this point? Mike Johnson spends more than Pelosi. That's not conservative. Mike Johnson sends everything to Chuck Schumer's Senate that Chuck Schumer wants on his desk. That's not Republican. I mean, really, Mike Johnson is one or two steps away from being worse than Kevin McCarthy. And in a way, you could actually say Mike Johnson is already worse than Kevin McCarthy. Because the whole point of removing Kevin McCarthy was to send a message that Republicans aren't playing these games with Chuck Schumer anymore. Republicans aren't going to get dog-walked by Democrats anymore. And we have agendas. And we have priorities. And it's the border, and it's America first, and it's the U.S. people, and it's peace. And it's dealing with the corruption in D.C. Kevin McCarthy was not hardcore enough dealing with those things, so he got vacated. Mike Johnson comes in and is basically maybe worse than Kevin McCarthy at this point, but no better. So, and if you have the Democrats, and again, the only way to find that out would if it went to a vote, and maybe Speaker Johnson does the right thing and just resigns to avoid that. But that would tell the whole story. Why would CNN, they have sources, obviously. They're talking to Democrats in the House. And so if the Democrats in the House are telling CNN, we've been flirting with the idea of keeping Johnson as the speaker, you know who's giving them that agenda, right? It's Chuck Schumer. You really think Hakeem Jeffries does a damn thing? He's the token blackface of the Democrat Party. Hakeem Jeffries doesn't have any... Nancy Pelosi still runs the House, but Chuck Schumer's running the whole show. So who's telling the Democrats that, hey, if the Republicans make this move to vacate, we might vote to save Speaker Johnson? Who's making that decision? Do you really think that's Hakeem Jeffries? Give me a break. It's Chuck Schumer. Because Mike Johnson is doing everything Chuck Schumer wants him to do. But the pressure cooker is now on Mike Johnson. A decision might have to be made by the end of the week. If not, next week, the motion to vacate will probably hit the floor, and that'll be it. So my guess is that's your timetable here. Who knows? Maybe there's a development before we're even off air. But that's where we're at. Now, the other big news that hit Congress today, Republicans moving to impeach Mayorkas, which, again, it doesn't stop the 8 million illegal immigrants that have already come in, and it doesn't stop the millions more that will. It doesn't stop the hundreds of billions being spent on them. But we're going to go to Marjorie Taylor Greene when we come back. First on the floor, blasting Alejandro Mayorkas, and then getting into it further with Steve Bannon. That's coming up next on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. All right. Marjorie Taylor Greene had Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on the floor today, grilling him like a hot dog on the 4th of July. Here it is, clip one.
Screen the gentlelady from Georgia for 5 minutes of questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mayorkas, we do not have a country without a secure border. And we cannot have a safe country. We cannot protect our own democracy without protecting our elections. That is a fact. The open border is the number one issue across America in poll after poll. And that is exactly why this committee impeached you. Mr. Secretary, the Oversight Project released a bombshell report last night on your connection to the dark money NGO industrial complex of illegal immigration. I know you saw this from one of my colleagues just earlier. They found flyers throughout the Resource Center Matamoros refugee camp in Mexico telling illegal aliens, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Eyewitnesses saw the flyers also being handed out to migrants who were using RCM for assistance in coming to the United States. In an audio recording, the founder of RCM, Gabby Zavala, by the way, we maybe should subpoena her to the committee, agreed that they need to help as many people as possible before President Trump gets reelected. RCM is an operation that houses functions for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which helps migrants enter the United States, and you're familiar with their work. We know that you served as a former board member of this group that funds illegal immigration. And they're very proud of you, Mr. Secretary. They congratulated you on your nomination. You worked as a board member of an NGO that is working in conjunction with other NGOs, which are not only financing the invasion of the country, but also telling illegal aliens to vote in the United States elections.
Yeah, we got more on that coming up, too.
Illegal aliens, non-citizens, to come vote for Joe Biden. That's your boss. This is corruption at the deepest level. As a matter of fact, I would call it treason. It's treason.
Whoa.
Because these people have declared war on our citizens
by raping
our women, our children, and murdering.
I'll pause it real quick, and I'm up against the clock here, so I'm going to be quick. Marjorie Taylor Greene is awesome, okay? I mean, the balls on this woman, you might think she's Rachel Devine. But wait a second. When you violate your oath to the Constitution, what do you call that? All right, continue.
Riley, you're familiar with her, right?
Congressman, our heartbreak.
Are you familiar with Laken Riley?
I am familiar with the case.
You should have deported her so that she could be alive today. Her parents would have appreciated that. And also Kayla Hamilton, who was brutally raped and murdered by a cartel member. Her mother came and spoke to us. She didn't deport him either. You let him in the country.
See, this is the future
you,
of the Republican
Secretary,
Party right
have
here.
You, Mr. Secretary, have allowed over 10 million illegals, probably higher than that, could be closer to 15 million. We don't know. To invade our country.
This is
you
what
allowed the cartels
a Republican
to
needs
make
to sound
billions
like. This is how a Republican
As
needs
a matter
to
of fact,
act. Right here.
You're probably the best business partner they could ever have. They make all this money in human trafficking and drug trafficking at our border. You've allowed approximately 300 Americans to be murdered every single day from fentanyl that comes across our border. And now you're aiding NGOs to steal our elections through your budget. I demand proof of citizenship in our elections, and that is something every single member of Congress should care about. We don't need illegal aliens voting in our elections. We're supposed to be here talking about your budget, but we're talking about how money is being used to make sure people come into our country are able to get a Social Security number in which they can register to vote. And on that note, Mr. Mayorkas, I demand that Chuck Schumer holds your impeachment trial in the Senate, because that's exactly what we should be focused on right now. Mr. Chairman, I yield the remainder of my
time. Do I smell something on the grill?
Gentlelady, yield.
Smells like something's grilling. If half the Republican Party sounded and acted like Marjorie Taylor Greene, we wouldn't be in this mess. That's what a Republican congressman and woman needs to sound like and act like right there. That should be the standard decorum. She went on with Steve Bannon, got more into this, and the Speaker Johnson situation. Clip three.
Moving forward, right now, we have a Republican-elected Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who rammed through Joe Biden's agenda, fully funded the Department of Justice, which has 91 federal indictments against President Trump, fully funded the FBI, which raided Mar-a-Lago, and he gave the FBI a brand new building. And even more than that, he fully funded Joe Biden's illegal invasion by fully funding the open border policies that the Biden administration has implemented. Now he has passed through FISA, and he stopped the warrant requirement with his own vote, the deciding vote. Now he's pushing for billions of dollars to go to Ukraine, with a lot of dirty tricks happening here with this bill package that they're ramming and putting together and trying to trick Republicans to vote for with the Israeli aid package. So we're not going to allow that. From now on, Steve, we're only going to allow Republican leaders that understand the Republican agenda for this country is America first, not America last. And that's why Speaker Johnson needs to resign. He needs to do the right thing, and we need time to elect a new Speaker of the House.
What's missing in any of this? Didn't he commit to the American people? Didn't he commit to the Republicans that nothing would go forward that didn't have securing the border as a top priority? Any of this Ukraine stuff that we're talking about that's coming up in the next 72 hours, does any of it have anything to do with our border?
No, absolutely not. There's no provisions for our border. What Speaker Johnson should be doing is he should be demanding that Chuck Schumer hold the trial in the Senate against Alejandro Mayorkas, because the House impeached Mayorkas with my articles of impeachment. But Speaker Johnson is not demanding that. He also should be demanding that Joe Biden sign H.R. 2 into law. But Speaker Johnson is not demanding that. And the biggest thing he should demand is a citizenship requirement in federal elections. That should be passed through the House, passed through the Senate, and Joe Biden sign it into law, or we move no legislation through the House. We should not vote on anything until we are making sure our elections are safe and we are holding the Biden administration accountable for the border invasion that's happening every single day, the cartel that has waged war on America and Americans, and end this nightmare that's happening to our own country.
I know you got to bounce. We got about a minute. Thomas Massey from Kentucky said he's going to join you in motion to vacate. Can you give us an update on that? Are you going to move on this?
Yes, I'm very thankful. Thomas Massey has co-sponsored my motion to vacate this morning. He made that announcement at the GOP conference. There are others behind us that haven't come public yet that also support it. And I'm not sure that the Democrats are actually going to protect Mike Johnson if we have to have that vote. But I want to reiterate this, Steve. I am very focused on maintaining our majority. I will not let it fall into the hands of Democrats. And I am fighting for this majority next Congress when we get President Trump back in the White House, because nothing matters more than that. So I want to assure everyone at home, we will not have a Speaker Jeffries. We are going to make sure that we elect a America First Speaker of the House. Mike Johnson should resign, and he should resign soon, announcing a date, and give our conference the time to make that happen.
All right, a lot to unpack MPG, there. We're up against a break now. I may kind of unpack that on the other side. We've still got a lot of these Biden clips of him just fumbling and bumbling through his speech today. We got Karine Jean-Pierre lying to the people. I still got stacks of news. So we'll come back and I think respond to that, though. All right. We have something here. This is a... Well, this is something. This is something Mike Johnson is lacking, and I'm told that this is actually a mold of Marjorie Taylor Greene's brass balls here. And I don't want to fondle them on air. Let's keep things family appropriate here. This is a physical representation of Marjorie Taylor Greene's cojones. And if Mike Johnson would like to borrow these, maybe for just a moment, we will offer them to him. It appears that he might be lacking in this category. And so, Mike, maybe you lost these somewhere along the way. So if you need a little help, We got you. All right. All kidding aside. Hey, I don't want to be anti-Mike Johnson. It's really unfortunate. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but for whatever reason, Chuck Schumer is now running the House, even though Mike Johnson is the Speaker, or at least for all intents and purposes, it's Speaker Chuck Schumer. And it's been no different post-McCarthy, and now Johnson is flirting with being worse than McCarthy. So, but you look at the hypotheticals, just because you have to speculate. What went wrong here? Was it doomed from the beginning that the Freedom Caucus had to compromise with Mike Johnson? Was it doomed from the beginning? Somewhere along the way, did something happen that doomed it? Did Mike Johnson stumble and fall? What was he shown in a top secret meeting that made him change his mind on FISA? Why is he doing the exact same thing that Speaker McCarthy did that had Republican voters and the Freedom Caucus so upset? The never-ending funding for Ukraine and every other country on earth, but we can't even secure the border. Hurts us on the FISA vote, stalls us on getting anything done on impeachment of Mayorkas. So what went wrong here? What went wrong? You hate to think, as Marjorie Taylor Greene has suggested, that Mike Johnson is blackmailed. But Mike, are you just a failure on your own? Are you just a failure organically? Did you just decide to sink into the swamp and become a swamp creature on your own volition? Blink twice if you need help. So it's really unfortunate. But now here we are dealing with the same thing. We can change things politically. When you have people in the Republican Party that are like Thomas Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, you'd be amazed at what we can actually get done. You'd be amazed if just half the Republicans in the House were somewhere near the brand of Gaetz or Greene or Massey, we'd be a lot better off. Like, the weakest of the Republicans should be like a Jim Jordan. Like, that should be like the weakest of the Republicans. And that's not a knock on Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan is obviously in the upper echelon right now of Republicans in the House. But that should be like the weakest link is like a Jim Jordan. Now you have a strong Republican Party. And we can win these races. You can win House races. There's a lot less corruption in House races. There's a lot less corruption in these local jurisdictions, these local districts, these small rural areas, country areas. That's how you can get people like that in. It's the cities where all the corruption goes on. It's these major blue areas where all the corruption goes on, where you wind up with Nancy Pelosi in Congress for 50-plus years. But this is where I see the Republican Party going without any, let's say, interference in the process politically. So that's where my hope lies, if there is any politically, is that it's not just about getting Trump in the White House. That's one part of the equation and obviously a big part. But we also need to fill the House with representatives like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you what, we'll break from that. We're going to come back in the next hour, get into some of this Biden news, and play for you some of the lowlights, if you will. It's getting bad. It's getting real bad for Joe Biden. I mean bad. So you'll see what I'm talking about coming up. But I want to go to a Supreme Court clip real quick of Neil Gorsuch. This was an incredible clip. Before I do that, ladies and gentlemen, we are self-funded with this audience and InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we remain independent. That's how we, our guests, our host, Alex, can come on air and cover the things we like, say how we feel, and not have to worry about any intrusion. Not have to worry about somebody trying to control our messaging. It's via you shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. And the products are great. I have a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, been out of stock for a while, back in stock, 40% off. And I'm telling you, there's not much better of a drink to start your morning with than Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I like to mix it with juice. I'll rotate sometimes orange juice, sometimes apple juice, sometimes pomegranate, sometimes blueberry. Tastes great with all of them. One scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion in the morning, stir it up, and then I chase down my supplements as well with that morning drink. But you just read the supplement facts here, and it's just vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B6, B12, and it's just everything. All your more than 100% your daily value of so many vitamins and minerals in one scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com. Just one of the great products. And when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com, you support us to keep us on the air, which is a victory every day. All right. Neil Gorsuch roasts. Neil Gorsuch goes off Supreme Court talking about the January 6th sentences and the double standard in the Justice Department.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst, okay, we don't think it falls within the actus reus to begin with.
What about, what if your name is Owen Schroyer?
The court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside
assume,
the courthouse, we'd have to show
think,
that, yes, they were aiming
I've
at
shown,
the proceeding.
Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly. And this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also. But we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We and went around that tree yesterday.
I know. I heard the argument yesterday. But I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of
so
those protesters had corrupt
intent. So
mostly
peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a high bar.
They intend to do it, all right.
All right. I'm going to come back and respond to this in the short 5-minute segment, and then we will get into the Biden clips from the Biden rally, if you'll even call it that. But there's a lot to expand upon what Gorsuch is saying, and I just so happen to know it personally. All right, so what is Gorsuch alluding to in that clip from the Supreme Court hearings? He's alluding to the clear and present double standard when it comes to the Justice Department and law enforcement in this country, specifically on the charges of obstruction of congressional hearings or congressional activity. And there's different levels of this, obviously. But here's the clear double standard. And we've witnessed it again, even as recent as last week, a bunch of pro-Palestinian protesters pro-Palestine protesters basically smash into the Capitol and disrupt proceedings and march and chant and yell, and they don't get charged, they don't get arrested, they're allowed to engage in this activity. But this is just one example. It's the pink pussy hat wearers. It's the climate change protesters. It's the impeached Trump protesters. They've all been well documented. They all get in there, hundreds of them, chant, disrupt congressional proceedings, and nothing happens. Now, just to be clear, I support their First Amendment right. I believe that is legal and lawful First Amendment activity, and I believe the proper response, I mean, you can have a policy that says, well, maybe you let them, maybe you don't, but the proper response is you detain. And as long as they're cooperative and there's no further reason or no violence, nothing gets broken, whatever, you detain, you remove them from the building, you say, you're banned for 24 hours or whatever. If you come back, we'll have to arrest you, but we're going to let you go. You've been detained. It's a warning. We won't cite you, won't charge you. You're banned 24 hours. You try to come back in, might be a different story. I believe that should be the case. Now, that is the case if you're a leftist protester. If you're a leftist protester. But what is Gorsuch leaning into? He's leaning into, hey, how come Jamal Bowman can pull a fire alarm and get away with it? How come you can have mass demonstrations that lead to violence and crime and there's no mass charges, there's no mass investigation by the FBI? And of course, we know the answer, and so does Gorsuch. The answer is because Democrats are above the law. They run the Justice Department. They weaponize it against their political opposition. But even Gorsuch, and this is what's so frustrating, and until you've actually been there and done that, it's hard to really understand because people get frustrated. Folks, the average judge in this country, including on the Supreme Court, is not as informed as you are. And that could be for a myriad of reasons, but it's just the truth. So you notice what the Solicitor General is saying, because, of course, she's misrepresenting the reality here, but she's trying to speak reason as if it's equally applied. And she says, oh, well, like you could use David Hogg. David Hogg stands up, disrupts a congressional hearing, gets released, no charges. Owen Schroyer, exact same thing. I face charges. I'm still on probation 5 years later. I face FBI indictments. I go through the grindhouse. I get drug tested. I have monthly probation meetings. I can't travel. I've got all kinds of probationary bullcrap. But see, what does she say? She says, well, it's reasonable that if you just stand up and peacefully say something and then cooperate and walk out, then you get escorted out, then it's fine. There's no charges. Nobody's coming after you, and that's a fair assumption to go after. Oh, but see, that's my point. Neil Gorsuch doesn't know about my case. The Solicitor General probably doesn't know about my case. And that's how it usually goes. Is they don't know about this stuff. They don't hear about this stuff. It doesn't make the mainstream news. It doesn't make it into their news feed. It's not something that they're reading up on. So he can sit there and hear her say, well, no, if you just stand up and peacefully demonstrate and walk out, then nothing's going to happen to you. Wrong. Nothing happens to you if you're a liberal. Nothing happens to you if you're a Democrat. Nothing happens to you if you're David Hogg. But if you're a conservative, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're Owen Schroyer, they're going to take you through the ringer and never let you go. And Gorsuch really just has no idea, but he's asking the right questions. All right, Joe Biden had a rally, if you even want to call it that. I don't know if that would even be fair to call it that. I don't know what you would call this. Here's the rally turnout. Folks, it's an embarrassment. Donald Trump has thousands of people lined up hours, if not days, before his rallies. This is about an hour before Joe Biden was supposed to take the podium, and in a venue that has maybe 100 seats, it's half filled. As he's campaigning on tax fairness, just more propaganda, more lies. We'll get into that in a second. But so here's your Biden rally. I actually, you know what's funny? I can literally count how many people are here. Let's actually do that, guys. You want to do I'm thinking, what do we think we got here? 30 people? I can actually count how many people are at this rally. You guys want to count them out with me? All right, here we go. One. They're kind of small over here. We'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. And some of those might be workers, but we're just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46. I just counted every single person at this Biden rally an hour before he took the podium. 46, ladies and gentlemen. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say there's maybe 10 over here that aren't pictured, so we'll go with 56. We'll even round it up to 60. 60 people at a Joe Biden rally. 60 people. He's an hour before he goes on. 60 people, they can't even fill the seats. Oh, this guy beat Trump for sure. By the way, this is no different than 2020. This is no different than Biden rallies in 2020. The difference is they had an excuse then. The excuse was, oh, COVID. Oh, people are too afraid to go out during COVID. And so he didn't have rallies, or he had these tiny rallies with the little circles and everything. And you get 50 people at a rally and they just say, oh, COVID. So they at least had an excuse when Trump was still getting 10,000, 20,000 at a rally. What's their excuse now? What's their excuse? Why can't Biden fill a venue? Well, because what they do is, by the way, there were protesters outside this venue. What they do is they can't, Biden can't actually have rallies, folks. They have these controlled press events, and you can't even get in. You have to get invited. It's mostly donors or known registered Democrat activists and voters or like local precinct chairs, and they all get invited. Biden can't actually have a rally with open doors because there'll be too many protesters. It'll be an embarrassment. And if he actually had an open rally at a big venue, nobody would show up, and it would be an embarrassment, and it would be bad optics politically. So but even Biden rallies are fake. Even his rallies are synthetic. But even their synthetic fake rally, they can't fill the house, is how embarrassing this is. So again, you can compare and contrast 2020, the Trump rallies, to the Biden rallies, where Trump got like 3 million people combined at all of his rallies to show up. Biden had like maybe 30,000, but somehow beat Trump. Well, they had the excuse of COVID. They don't have the excuse now. And they never show the crowds at the Biden rally either. It's funny because Trump's always like, show the crowd. And they never would. Well, are they going to show the Biden crowd? Probably not, because it's pathetic. We counted it. I can count the people at a Biden rally. I can literally sit here and count the people at a Biden rally. And how long did it take me? 60 seconds? But then it gets worse. Then it gets worse. First, we've got a couple of these clips for embarrassing Biden, but first let's play the clip of the outright lie in clip 10. Here's Biden lying about his tax policy.
Under my plan, nobody earning less than $400,000 will pay an additional penny. I hope you're all able to make $400,000.
Not in your economy, Jack.
I never did.
He never did. He's just worth millions.
But they're not going to pay an extra penny in federal taxes. That's a promise. Nobody. Not one penny.
Okay. We're going to play that again because I'm disrupting. First of all, he's completely lying. And if he never made $400,000, then explain these bank records where you have these millions of dollars and these multiple properties and your son making all this money and 10% for the big guy. So I guess you maybe never legally earned $400,000, I guess is what you might say. But listen to what he says. It's a complete and utter lie about this policy. Play it again. I won't interrupt.
Under my plan, nobody earning less than $400,000 will pay an additional penny. I hope you're all able to make $400,000. I never did. But they're not going to pay an extra penny in federal taxes. That's a promise. Nobody. Not one penny.
So it's a lie. It's not a promise. It's a lie. But Biden can't even make these promises, folks. He's not even running his administration. Biden doesn't set any policy. Biden doesn't write any legislation. Biden doesn't have an agenda. He knows nothing. He is the example of a puppet president. This guy has no clue what's going on. He's not in charge of anything. He might not even be able to control his own bowel movements. But he lied. It's not a promise. It's a lie. Here's the story. It looks like the IRS lied about who those 80,000 new agents would target. Today is tax day. It's the day the U.S. government either gives you back the money they stole or takes more. But remember that day when Joe Biden and the Democrats promised that the more than 80,000 new IRS agents hired would only target the rich? It turns out they lied. Congress gave the IRS $80 billion to augment their audit functions, says Adam Adjerzewski, CEO of OpenTheBooks.com. And as of last summer, 63% of the new audits targeted taxpayers with incomes less than $200,000. Now, I'm going to expand on what that represents in a second. This is not what they said. Remember this letter from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Contrary to the misinformation from opponents of this legislation, small businesses or households earning $400,000 a year or less will not see an increase in the chances that they are audited. A total lie. The bottom line is the IRS is already hard at work targeting the middle class. Now, again, I, unlike Joe Biden, don't make $400,000 a year. In fact, isn't the presidential salary like $500,000 a year? Guys, actually, look that up for me real quick. I'm not certain about that. But I think it's about $500,000 a year. So, I mean, this guy just lies through his teeth, man. But it's almost not even fair to say he's lying about this stuff. He just has no clue. So he just makes it up. So he makes $400,000 a year as president. So that's his salary as president. Oh, I never made $400,000 a year. That's your current salary, jackass. I never made $400,000 a year. That is literally your current salary, you jackass. Oh, my gosh. The guy has a public salary of $400,000 a year, and he tells people, I don't make $400,000 a year. That's literally public record, his salary. Wow. But see, I, unlike Joe Biden, I don't make $400,000 a year. But I get audited. I get from the IRS. My taxes all went up, as I'm sure yours did. Yeah. Yeah. See, but that's what I'm saying. It's like the same thing when they talk about, oh, the economy's great. Greatest economy ever. Gas prices are low. People are getting their jobs. Now, I know people that have lost their jobs. So it's like they just sit here and they just lie to the American people. It's like, who believes this? It's like, everybody's grocery bill has gone up. Everybody's energy bill has gone up. Everybody's price at the pump has gone up. Everybody, most people know somebody that's lost a job or is living paycheck to paycheck, struggling financially. And then Karine Jean-Pierre, Janet Yellen, or Kamala Harris, or Joe Biden just says, greatest economy ever, Jack. And oh, you're right. I'm not experiencing the worst economy ever. I'm not experiencing the financial hardships. I'm not experiencing record credit card debt. I'm not experiencing getting my car repoed. I'm not experiencing whether to pay the mortgage or get groceries this month. I'm not experiencing that. The Democrats told me that's not real. So they must be telling me the truth. Oh, golly gee. And by the way, Joe Biden says he's never made $400,000 a year, even though that's his public salary. Incredible. So it's not even fair to say that he's lying because he doesn't even know what the hell's going on. So he just lies because he just talks and he doesn't know what's going on. But no, here's what is going on. So all these new deals with the IRS and the $80 billion, I mean, who knows where the money actually ends up, but where the execution comes into play, where the policy comes into play, they're going after these payment apps, Venmo, Cash App, these new payment processors that independent businesses use, like Stripe, for example, and they have deals with these people, and probably to an extent like a YouTube or other revenue generating platforms that are kind of out of the norm, out of the typical spectrum of earners. And some of them might send you tax documents or you might have to file a tax document, but it's the onus is on you to file your taxes, to pay your taxes. Well, how is the government, how is the IRS going to know who is getting money through YouTube or who is getting money through Stripe or who is getting money through Venmo or all these other things? Well, they have to have a deal. They have to have a policy. They have to have a cooperative deal there. That's where these IRS agents are going towards. That's where these IRS agents and this funding is going towards. So, of course, it's people making $200,000 a year or less. It's the independent business owner that gets paid on Venmo running a barbershop. It's the person that's working for tips on Venmo. It's the person that has an independent business that they run on the internet that takes payments through Stripe. So if they don't report those taxes, the IRS has a system that runs the numbers, searches the names, back checks it with their tax log, and if the numbers don't add up, then they send you a notice. That's where the money is going. So yeah, the small business person that's taking payments through a payment processor like Stripe, or the small business person that's taking payments on Venmo or Cash App, they're not making $200,000 a year. But now they're being targeted by the IRS. And that's where that money, that's where those IRS agents are going. And Joe Biden just lies to you. Of course he does. the lies continue here. And I'm not going to replay this clip. By the way, the crew is just pulling up all the headlines, exactly what I'm talking about. You know, this is why InfoWars is such a beautiful operation here. Is as I'm just up here rapping, they're just pulling up all the stories, backing up what I'm talking about. It's what we do here. So I'm not going to go back and play this clip again where the Biden propaganda account on Twitter lied about something Trump said, but then misrepresents even the application. And they say, Trump says he's only going to cut taxes for wealthy people. Well, he said he was going to cut taxes for everybody, but then you cut it and edited it so it sounded like he said that. But even if he was cutting it towards wealthy people, then everybody would benefit anyway. So Joe Biden reshares that video. Just complete misrepresentation. No community notes there, by the way. They never got community noted for editing that video out of context and sharing it millions of times. But yeah, okay, Biden says Trump wants to give his wealthy friends a tax break. It's Joe Biden that charges $100,000 a head at a fundraiser. It's Joe Biden who pays, who has to have Bill Clinton and Barack Obama at fundraisers and then pay $20,000 if you want to get a picture with him and have Lizzo perform. And then he's, oh yeah, who's really the party of the rich? Well, it's the Democrats. That fraud, Mark Cuban, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, they're all big Dem donors. George Soros, these are big Democrats. But yeah, giving the wealthy a tax break, giving everybody a tax break is beneficial. And it's amazing. This is the class warfare. This is the hatred that's instilled into the Democrat voter where they can't even think logically anymore. And, you know, we'll get into this later, but I think they're starting to realize this a little bit. I think that the hate-filled Democrat is starting to realize this a little bit. Because during the jury selection process, a lot of these Democrats basically admitted that they cannot put down their hatred or their bias against Donald Trump and be on the jury. They admitted it. So that was an interesting thing. But getting back to this, this is what I'm saying. If you cut taxes for everyone, everyone benefits. If you cut taxes for the rich, everyone benefits. But they've been put into this class warfare that they just hate, quote unquote, the rich. And so they just fall for it every time. Really, you kind of want to work for a rich person. That's who's going to pay you money. You kind of want to work for a big business that makes a lot of money because that's how you're going to make a lot of money. And then the America First legal team has sued Biden's IRS for illegally concealing government records on plans for race-based tax audits. So now it also turns out they're targeting white people. They're targeting white people. The Biden administration, the IRS, is targeting white people. Deputy Secretary of the Treasury Wally Adeyemo's meeting with racial equity experts and civil rights organization on Biden administration tax policies. So they've already put all these things out there where it's harder for white people to get into college. It's harder for white people to buy a home. It's harder for white people to do this. White people get audited by the IRS at a higher rate. And it's just all, it is systemic racism. That is the definition of systemic racism. The Democrats are engaging in it against white people. And then they say Republicans are engaging it against black people. And it's always inverse reality. So now they've been sued for it. Just blatant racism. So now let's go to these clips, though. Back to Biden's rally. One more fun thing on these. Rand Paul, he does this at the end of every year, and he reshared it today because it's tax day. As another tax day hits the nation and our debt tips over the $34 trillion mark, my waste report once again throws a spotlight on the ways Washington spends your hard-earned money. Oh, it's fun. Got an $800 billion COVID paycheck protection program. Just a bunch of fraud. $6 million to boost tourism in Egypt. I wonder if Bob Menendez had anything to do with that. $2,700,000 grant to whisk away your hard-earned money towards Russia and the study on feline cardio. You got Russian cats on treadmills. $12 million to the NIH studying the sleep habits of monkeys on meth. Ron Paul's Festivus report exposes $900 billion in government squander. That's just ridiculous things, including hundreds of millions for popular artists and musicians. It's just crazy here. We got a lobster tank. We're running lobsters. We got monkey islands with Anthony Fauci. We got meth head monkeys. Got monkey casinos. It's just, it's all in there. So that's what you get. That's what your tax dollars go towards. Important stuff. Important stuff. So look, these are the lowlights of Biden today. I'm just going to roll them all back to back to back. But look, when I tell you that his entire speech was like this, it's not an exaggeration. Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, cannot talk. The guy cannot talk. He's at a tiny rally with a teleprompter in front of him, and he still cannot even speak. This is how bad it was. Roll clips 6, 8, and 9. We'll just go back to back to back. 6, 8, and 9.
I've already cut the federal deficit. You know, all the stuff they talk about what we've done, and I'm going to be self-serving a little bit. Every objective alternative points out we've had the most successful economy of any major economy in the world so far. A lot more to do. But guess what? During the whole time, I've been able to cut the federal deficit at the same exact time.
Lie.
To over $1 trillion. My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door North Washington Avenue in Scranton, on a kitchen table with a guy who was sort of the David Broder of the Pennsylvania Press, the Scranton Press. You think I'm kidding? It wasn't, but anyway. And they'd come and have breakfast at the table, and a kid could wander around the table where the adults were sitting, but you could never sit at the table. And
folks, the whole speech was like this: mumbling, bumbling, stuttering, stammering, making no sense at all, lying. It's just unbelievable. And he's like, I don't remember how he phrased it, but he's insinuating that independent reporters agreed that he cut into the deficit. No, actually, all independent reporters and analysts said that you didn't cut into the deficit and that you're blatantly lying about that, actually. Same thing with your IRS claims and everything else. So, no, the independent analysts actually have concluded you're lying, and then you go up there and fumble and bumble through it. But then Maggie Haberman, a known liar, liberal reporter, says, oh, Trump is falling asleep during his court hearings. If anybody believes that, nobody does. But remember, it's Joe Biden that falls asleep on the regular. I mean, remember when he fell asleep during a press conference in the Oval Office, just nodded off and fell asleep right there with a bunch of cameras rolling as he was meeting with a diplomat from Israel? And then the guy realized it and he quit addressing Joe because he realized he was talking to a sleeping man. So he started talking to the press instead. He did that while he was having a meeting in the Oval Office, folks. He fell right asleep. It's not the first time. It's not the only time he's fallen asleep. Yeah, they're lying about him falling asleep. Trump didn't fall asleep. But it's Joe Biden that falls asleep at G20 meetings. It's Joe Biden that falls asleep when he's visiting these churches on campaign stops. I mean, it's everywhere. Joe Biden falls asleep everywhere. It's Joe Biden that sleeps till noon and shows up late to press conferences. It's Joe Biden that has to cancel press conferences because he can't get up. It's Joe Biden seen with CPAP marks on his face because he can't get up. Honestly, man, Democrats just lie, lie, and then lie some more. All right, an absolute mob scene in New York City today. You have a bunch of African illegal immigrants basically storming the city hall, demanding money and jobs. The scenes were pretty incredible. This is on top of other massive news dealing with illegal immigration. We have a lot of the video. Much of it was shot by Savannah Hernandez, who was out there on the scenes filming and interviewing. Truly a shocking scene. They're lined up, and then the line was so big there was basically like an overflow, and they had them behind a fence. But I want to get the real story from Savannah, who is on the ground. So what is the story here? I mean, all we can do is look at what we saw in these videos, but I mean, is it what it appears to be, just hundreds, if not thousands, of illegal immigrants from Africa asking for more free money and jobs to go along with it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I initially reported that it was hundreds, but the official numbers did come out and there were about 1,300 African men in front of City Hall in New York this morning. Now, walking into this scene was a bit intimidating because, again, as a single female journalist, to walk into a crowd of single adult men who are not from my country is just a very unsettling and uneasy feeling. And, I mean, that's New York right now. It's baffling. I don't even know how to approach this story because we got so many different angles going on here. Like you talked about, they were there in front of City Hall this morning because Eric Adams specifically was doing a hearing about how they're going to be handling Black immigrants in New York, how they are going to be taking care of the African immigrants in New York. So, of course, this isn't even just an illegal immigration issue anymore. Now they're like segregating it into the different races. And so they were specifically talking about the migrants from Haiti, from Guinea, where a lot of these people are from. And there was a lot of miscommunication too on the ground. I was asking some of them, hey, are you here because you heard you were going to get a green card? And they were like, some of us were told that we were going to get a green card. Some of us were told that we were going to get free housing. We're here to plead with the city to allow us to work. And again, I asked that question, so you guys aren't seeking asylum, which we all know the answer to that is no. So that's what was happening in front of City Hall this morning. It was just a really shocking scene to see that big of a group of people who couldn't even speak English convened in front of City Hall to petition an American mayor to give them more free stuff.
So I saw some of your footage there. There's children running around. This is a public park in front of the City Hall there, the local City Hall there. What were the locals thinking? They had to be shocked at these crowds of people.
Oh, they were pissed off. They were not happy at all. A lot of them were, of course, giving the glances. But because we're in New York and people are typically more liberal here, oftentimes you'll see that they look uneasy. But then when you approach them about it, they'll be like, oh, you know, it is what it is. We have to help them. They're just homeless, poor immigrants. But there are a select few New Yorkers who understand that this is Mayor Eric Adams, who is slated to spend over $12 billion on these people into 2025. Let's also not forget that 175,000 illegal immigrants, which is just a tiny, tiny portion of the, what, 10 million that have illegally crossed into the United States of America. Tiny portion here in New York. They can't even handle it. I'm actually standing in front of one of the Catholic churches that is now being used by the city to process these illegal immigrants because Mayor Eric Adams is now saying, hey, after 30 days, the single adult men are going to get kicked out. It was previously like an infinite amount of time that they could stay in these hotels. It got, brought down to 30 days. And so yesterday when I was out here, this entire area, and I'll kind of like pan with Wiki here, this entire area was filled with illegal immigrants. And they have these fences lined up, and they come here because after they get kicked out, they get reprocessed, and they essentially just get another hotel room. So, you know, they can just keep going into the system again and again and again, and sorry to ramble on here, but as we were standing out here just 20 minutes ago, a Russian immigrant came out singing, I'm going to Chicago tomorrow for free. I asked him about it. I was like, why are you going to Chicago? And he was like, you know, I've been in New York for a year. I don't like the vibe here. So I just got a free ticket to Chicago. I'm going to go try to find some work over there. And then I plan on going to L.A. And I asked him for free. And he said for free.
Oh, well, that's good for him. He might as well get some free tourism there. You know, the Russians that we're so afraid of, they get free trips around the country. So you're telling me that that school behind you, I think it's St. Bridget Catholic School, you're telling me that the whole school has been shut down and is now an illegal immigrant facility, so kids can't even go to school there anymore?
Well, I don't know if it was previously shut down and they just repurposed it, or if it was shut down specifically so the city could utilize it for illegal immigrants. But the point is that the city is now utilizing this area that is near two children's parks, by the way. So you have multiple children riding their bikes along this area while you have single adult unvetted migrant men throughout the park and lined up along the street. That was such a shocking scene to me because I think when it comes to the migrant crisis, it's such a normalized scene for Americans that we forget that there's children involved in this and this isn't normal. And why as a society can we not agree to have safe city streets for our children? I actually have a migrant that's coming down this way right now. Again, you guys will kind of see like this is a process. They kind of just go through.
Oh, that's what that gate is for.
This area. Yeah, that's what the gate is for. They come through and then they get let right on in. And I don't know if you guys are going to be able to see.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you guys are going to be able to see these papers over here, but in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different languages, plus English, it says, did you know you can book a ticket to travel anywhere outside of New York City? You can actually book a trip anywhere in the world for free.
Anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world that you want to. I was talking to my source, and I was like, that's crazy. They can go anywhere in the United States. And he said, no, that's anywhere in the world. That is how desperate New York is to get immigrants out of this area. They are offering free tickets to go anywhere in the world.
Well, we've also got the flyers that are now being discovered at the migrant camps in Mexico urging you to vote for Biden. We can get to that in a second. But so this is a common story now, and it doesn't get talked about much. When we were covering it in El Paso, we found multiple schools that were shut down so they could house illegal immigrants. I mean, this is happening all over the country. They're closing schools to put illegal immigrants in them.
And you know what else? I completely forgot that this happened as well because so much has been going on. But going back to how the citizens of New York are responding to this, just here at this location yesterday, this grandmother was out here screaming at the immigrants, and she was just like, you know, calling them every name in the book. And she ended up telling us that her granddaughter was recently killed by an illegal, and she does not want them here, and she's extremely upset. I tried to interview her, and she was like, I'm in mourning, I don't want to be filmed, but basically, F these people, they killed my granddaughter.
Well, I can't imagine, because here's what's going to happen. More and more people are going to have the Lake and Riley family experience or this grandma's experience, and it's going to be their kid, their granddaughter, their mom, whatever, unfortunately, that's going to be a victim of these criminals that the Biden administration is letting in. But I can't even imagine. You think about this scene at the park where a lot of this footage is taken. You know, folks, not everybody in this audience is obviously from New York City. In New York City, you don't have much room in your apartment. You don't have much room for the kids to run around. You have to go to the park. You take your kids to the park. You take them out in the stroller. You have them play on the playground. I can't even imagine. You take them to the park now, and there's 1,000 African men out there, dazed, confused, on drugs, aggressive. And it's just like, this is, how do you even take your kids there? Were people like, did you see anybody like walking up and then just doing the about face like, not today?
I mean, there were definitely a lot of concerned parents that were doing the whole corral their children closer to them as they walked to the park. Actually, honestly, let's go walk to the park right now because I'd like to show you the scene here. I don't know how much longer we have in the segment.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do that? We're up against a break. We'll let you get reestablished at the park there. Savannah Hernandez
we'll
joining us from
you
New York City.
To the park, so you can see.
Yeah. So 1,000 plus. They're saying the number is 1,300 illegal immigrants from Africa. Hey, listen, you dirty American. You don't, this is the greatest economy of all time. Biden said so today. He fumbled and bumbled. He said, greatest economy of all time, Jack. And no, I've never made $400,000 a year, even though that's his public salary. We're not targeting anybody making less than $400,000, even though it's on record. They're going after people making less than $200,000. And so all of this is going on while thousands of African men are demanding more money and jobs in front of the New York City Hall. This is clown world stuff here, so get your clown horn out. All right, on the scene in New York City, she's been out there all day documenting this. Over 1,000 illegal immigrants from Africa just storming New York City Hall, demanding money and jobs. Americans are losing their jobs, so the Africans deserve that. And now she's standing in front of the park where you can still see them loitering behind her. I guess they're just waiting for the free money, or what's the deal here, Savannah?
Yeah, I'm actually going to walk you through this park right now. But this is, again, that area near the NGO that we just showed you guys where a lot of these migrants are being rehoused, essentially. And so they come out and they hang out at the benches here. They hang out at this park. And I want to highlight for you guys, too, that this is a children's park right here. So this is what the children in the city of New York are forced to live around. Also, by the way, this is the same location where just yesterday I was told by these illegal immigrants to stop filming, to which I responded, sorry, welcome to the United States. There's something called the First Amendment here. I'm going to film you. But I just want us all to be aware of what is happening on the streets of New York, what it looks like. And again, I can't highlight enough. Why is this okay around our kids?
There's a literal kid in a stroller right behind you.
Yes, there's going to be multiple children walking by. There's a lot of them playing, again, two right over there, and then there's another children's park right over here. So this was once a very nice area, but I was directed to this park specifically because of the migrant population here.
I mean, you don't have to imagine it. We've just witnessed it. You're walking your child to the local park, and you have to go through hundreds of illegal immigrants just sitting around. They don't know where they are at. They don't know what they're doing. They're desperate. They need free stuff. I mean, it's just, can you talk about the discomfort? I mean, I know you're right in front of them, you know, but it's just like, this can't be a comfortable experience.
It definitely isn't. And like I said, these citizens in New York are getting increasingly more angry because they feel completely ignored by their government, as do all American citizens. And you know what the response is every single time from a lot of these liberal politicians is, don't call them illegals. This is actually something that I heard from a City of New York employee earlier today. He was like, what's going on? And we responded, these illegals are convening here to get more resources from the city. And he said that that's a mean thing to say. So I went and I chased him and I said, well, do you think that it's mean that the City of New York is spending $12 billion of the taxpayers' funding on these people that shouldn't be here? Do you think maybe that's mean? Do you think that it's mean that NYPD just got beat up by a group of illegal immigrants that shouldn't have been here? I don't know. But what the mean thing is Americans like you and me talking about how this is a problem. So, yeah, it's very sad where we're at as a country right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've been walking around working all day. You might want to go have a break and take a seat on a park bench. Oh, no, you can't. All the Africans have them, so no park bench for you.
Exactly. It's either that or somebody that's tweaked out on drugs. New York is really...
Hey, at least the tweaker's a citizen.
Crime, you know? Good Lord. And we were actually walking through the subway yesterday, too, and I hear somebody peeing in the subway, and I was like, what is going on? And it's two illegal immigrants, and I'm like, are you kidding? So on top of the homeless American citizens paying in the subway, we now have illegal immigrants doing the exact same thing. So it's an absolute mess over here.
I was in New York in, I think it was like 2003, 2004, 2005. I went with my dad, and we were out late. I mean, probably till like 3 in the morning. It was my first time in New York City. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, the city that never sleeps. And it was nice. The streets were clean. I mean, even though I was a bit of a, you know, I wasn't really a kid that had much fear, let's say, but still, I was never in a situation where I felt uncomfortable and never in a situation where you felt like, you know, you might feel uncomfortable or have a violent threat or, you know, there was nothing odd or out of the ordinary. The last time I was in New York City, maybe 2019, I mean, literally homeless on every corner, tweakers on every corner, mountains of trash, rats crawling around, smells like feces. I haven't been back since. Is it still like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I can only do about 3 days in New York. I'm having a good time the first day. And then by the third day, I'm like, take me back home to Texas immediately. I need to go back to a functioning state because this is too much. So a lot going on here in New York. And like I said, the migrant crisis is still very much out of control with no end in sight because, I mean, why would you leave? If you get kicked out of your hotel, you just go and get a new hotel. If you want to go to a different American city for free, you just keep transporting all over the United States and doing whatever you please. And by the way, the City of New York, let's not forget, which is a sanctuary city, does provide a state-issued ID to these migrants as well. So if you are an illegal immigrant, you can go and get one of these IDs, and you can get access to housing. It can be utilized as a driver's license. I'm actually looking into this right now, but technically in the state of New York, you don't have to show your ID to vote. You can just show a proof of residency. So what's to stop an illegal immigrant from voting this November?
Well, and they also, I don't know if you've seen this because you've been reporting from the streets all day, flyers distributed at an NGO camp in Mexico encouraging illegal immigrants to vote for President Biden. Of course, it's in Spanish. It says, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. The Oversight Project has all of this. And Marjorie Taylor Greene called for Gabby Zavala, who is the one taking credit for this message. She called for her to be subpoenaed. We'll see if that happens. So, but we already know in New York City, they can't vote in so-called federal elections, but they can vote in local elections. Is that part of this process? Is you hope you get a green card or an ID and then you can vote?
Well, again, if you guys even want to pull up the New York election laws, you can just show a proof of residence. And by the way, you can buy one of those at a church here or at the black market, you know, over in Queens. My source was telling me that a lot of the migrants will come over here and they can buy social security cards that work. They can buy a passport. They can buy a hotel wristband to get into a hotel that they might have gotten kicked out for, you know, maybe committing a crime. So there's definitely a black market here as well. And like I said, if a migrant really wanted to, they can very easily vote on 2024 because of how lax these laws are.
Well, it's being encouraged. And I saw that I think that you guys were reporting it was about $92 billion that New York City has allocated for illegal immigrants through 2025. Was that right? I thought it was even more.
$12 billion. That's the number that Eric Adams is throwing out. But let's
yeah,
be
that, that no, the number is closer to $100 million.
Yeah. So again, it's an increasing amount, right? They can throw out these numbers to us, but at the end of the day, we know that the federal government is also funneling funds to this city. We also know that the NGOs are getting money. So it's billions and billions of dollars.
I mean, this is just absolute insanity. But see, these NGOs and these hotels and these other places that become their new residents, they have a motive here. They're getting paid. There's no motivation for them to stop this process. Where is the billions of dollars going? They're going to the hotels. They're going to the churches. They're going to the former schools.
And let's not forget that $53 million program as well that Eric Adams just passed, giving prepaid debit cards to these illegal immigrants. And I was looking into this story, and the reason why he passed that program is because the migrants didn't like the food that they were being given. So they said, okay, we're going to give you a prepaid debit card instead so that you can go buy your own food. So we're really pampering these people. And again, the citizens are just getting super pissed off because the city is continuing to degrade. Nothing is getting solved here. And it's a big issue.
All right. What else do you want to report here before we finish the hour? I've got some other illegal immigrant news. Vagrant charged with punching 9-year-old girl in New York City was out on bail for attacking women. I mean, this city, the once great city of New York City, is it's crumbling at the seams under Democrat leadership.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like you talked about, this should be a safe American city. It should be a beacon of our American greatness, right? Where tourists come, where we're able to really show off like, hey, this is what the United States is about. But now our cities have completely degraded and New York is just basically a giant toilet at this point.
All right. Well, have a safe walk back to your hotel from Africa. I mean, New York City. And
thank you.
Keep up the good work. We'll continue to follow you on Twitter at Savs. _says_ is where you can find a lot of these videos. And a lot of these videos that are going viral right now are from her account. Savannah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The funding doesn't stop there. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer seeks $8 million in state funds for illegal immigrants' legal fees. Gotta pay those legal bills for the illegal immigrants. This is just unreal stuff here. Oh, okay. When does it end? When does enough become enough? This is just, there's no logical reasoning for any of this other than just outright corruption, criminal activity. No other reason. But it's the biggest mafia in the country. It's the largest terror group in the country. It's the biggest enemy we face. It's the Democrat Party. And right now they're running a coup against Donald Trump. Wow. It's just wild stuff, isn't it? But you know, I got this story about a homeless veteran that gets kicked out of his home. And does he get funding from the government? No, he just gets kicked out of his home and has to ask people to help him. Just blows the mind. And, you know, I do my best not to get frustrated here, but it's really hard because this is all this stuff is completely unnecessary. It's all criminal activity. And you just wonder when somebody's going to get serious and put an end to it. It's just insane. I mean, this should never be happening. And it'd be one thing if every American had a $500,000 mansion with an acre of land and a pool in the backyard. But that's not exactly happening, is it? You have stories like this from Code of Vets. And usually they do well taking care of these people. They just posted this 2 days ago. Air Force veteran Dustin is now homeless. He is a single dad of four. His son Carson, 2 years old, passed away. Carson had been hospitalized, died from complications of pneumonia and subsequent sepsis. Although Dustin feels blessed that he was present when Carson took his first breath and his last, this anguish is more than he is currently able to manage. They have people assisting him. He was in a Macon homeless shelter. And so this is a homeless veteran going through it, a really tough time. But he doesn't get any help from the government. And thank God we have great American organizations like Code of Vets out there to help him, because the U.S. government doesn't give a damn about our veterans. They don't give a flying fudge about Americans. They would rather find hundreds of billions of dollars for Ukraine, for Israel, and for illegal immigrants to invade this country. But if you're a homeless veteran and you're going through it, they don't give a rat's ass about you. And yes, that makes me sick and angry, because it shouldn't be going on ever. Shouldn't happen one time. Not one time should an American veteran be overlooked for Ukraine or Israel or an illegal immigrant. Shouldn't happen once. Sorry, that's what I'm saying. It's just, can't do it. Can't do it. And you got all these groups, these left-wing groups. By the way, all those protests yesterday obviously were AstroTurf. And, I mean, you really have to think about this complex. So, I mean, I got some more footage of it. It was in Seattle, Chicago, New York, San Francisco, and there are a bunch of other smaller rallies, too, that they just weren't that big, and they didn't block an airport or a major bridge, and so they didn't get the coverage, but there were a bunch of smaller ones, too. I got sent even video from St. Louis. It was small, but they were out there. One in San Antonio, I'm being told. We have crew that's from San Antonio. So, I mean, yeah. There were dozens of these things. Obviously, AstroTurf. And look, the whole thing is suspicious to me, because what this does is it basically drags the conservative right by this Zionist leash. And so they see this stuff, and this is obviously left-wing activism, left-wing disruption, and they say, oh, well, the response is we have to stand with Israel. And the response is, look at these pigs, look at these leftists that hate Israel, so we have to stand with Israel. Well, that in and of itself is a psyop. I wouldn't be surprised if these aren't funded by Western Jewish groups to continue the right-wing support of the Zionist cause. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's all AstroTurf. It's all organized and funded by the anti-Israel, anti-American left. And then they go out and block roads and bridges, and the cops just stand there and watch them do it. But if you go to a Planned Parenthood clinic and you pray the rosary, you're going to prison. We just need to pray to God this ends someday. We can just experience the end of this. When do we get the pro-American marches? When do we get to stop illegally spying on American marches? When do we get to close the border marches? When do we get to stop political persecution marches? When do we get those marches? Oh, yeah, there's no funding and no AstroTurf set for that. So we just deal with all that, our nation being conquered. Great stuff, man. Cool stuff. All right, third hour here of the InfoWars War Room. This hour is brought to you by Turbo Force Plus at InfoWarsStore.com. 10 hours of clean energy in one scoop of Turbo Force Plus from InfoWarsStore.com. Put down the toxic energy drinks. Stop drinking the high fructose corn syrup, the processed sugar, the battery acid taste. Turbo Force Plus from InfoWarsStore.com. 10 hours of clean energy, one scoop, no crash, doesn't taste like battery acid, actually tastes good, doesn't have all the processed sugar, doesn't have all the high fructose corn syrup. One scoop, mix it with water, and you've got 10 hours of clean energy to power you through the day. There's a reason why we have mailmen that call in and endorse this project, truckers that call in and endorse this project product. The crew endorses it working long days, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 4.9 star review. That's essentially a 5-star review. Once if there's one review that's not 5 stars, then it goes down to 4.9 and it can never get back up. So that's basically 402 5-star reviews and then one that's a 4-star. So that's pretty much a perfect rating right there. TurboForce Plus, InfoWarsStore.com, and it's your support there that keeps us on the air. 40% off right now. Take advantage of that sale before it sells out. All right. All right. Still a lot to get to. Let's go to Josh Hawley. This is incredible. Blasting Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, but this is such an important thing. This should probably be Trump's attorney general, should he win. Josh Hawley talking about how does Congress make so much money in the stock market?
When you were here last, I talked with you about the fact that more than 130 officials in the Energy Department reported more than 2,700 trades of shares, bonds, and options in companies that ethics officers said was directly related to the agency's work. This is institutionalized corruption. And I asked you point blank, do you own any individual stock? And you told me, no. Let's just look at it. It was not a difficult question. Do you own individual stocks, Madam Secretary? You said no. In fact, you repeated it 3 times to me. No, no, no. Turns out that was false. You did own multiple individual stocks, and you neglected to report it to this committee for months afterwards. Why did you mislead this committee?
Oh, my goodness.
That was exactly my response. So why did you mislead this committee?
I believed that I had sold all individual stocks, and I was incorrect. So I came back.
You just don't know
told,
your portfolio?
Pretty much.
It's a big one, I guess, huh?
No, it's extremely small.
Apparently not. Someone manages it for you?
So I came back as soon as I found out that, in fact, I had not sold all individuals.
Wait. No, that's not true either. Let's just look at the timeline. Let's not. I just remind you, you're under oath. Madam Secretary, you testified you didn't own any individual stocks. You didn't sell the stocks for a whole nother month. And after you sold the stocks, you waited another month before you informed this committee. Why did you mislead us, and what were you hiding? Why did you wait so long? Why did you hide this?
I did not hide it because I brought it forth to the committee when I realized that we had made a mistake.
Really? What explains the delay? Why did you wait for a full month to explain your actions to this committee, your false testimony?
That's less than a month, and I sent a letter explaining what had happened.
May the 15th to June the 9th.
Because I owned a Ford stock that was...
You misled this committee, and you wait. What were the stocks? What were the stocks that you owned?
It was a Ford stock that my husband had owned since he was very young, and I just was not aware of it.
And what were the others? You sold 6 stocks. What were the other 5?
I sold non-conflicting stocks.
What were they?
I don't even know. I do know the Ford one because that was a conflict.
You don't.
That's why
you
I raised this.
You're here before this committee a year later after actively misleading us, after denying and delaying and delaying, and now you won't tell us. Was one of them Proterra?
No.
You sat on the board of directors at Proterra. You made millions CNN reports and stock options at Proterra. Then you promoted Proterra stock and Proterra products as energy secretary.
Sir,
was that one of the stocks that you sold?
This is so... I mean, really.
Was that one of the stocks that you sold? Yes,
no,
really.
No.
You are presiding over institutionalized corruption in your energy department. You
I'm
have
so
violated
sorry.
The Stock Act 9 separate times. You have been referred by the Inspector General for violations of the Hatch Act. It is institutionalized corruption that you are now the face of. And here's what I'm trying to figure out. I just want to know who really runs the Energy Department. Is it you, or is it the mega corporations whose stock that you own that you're making profits in?
Oh, my goodness.
Or maybe it's the foreign billionaires who fund your conferences. Let's try something else. Do you know the names of the foreign billionaires who fund the conferences you go to? Since you don't know the stocks... Do you know the names of the foreign billionaires?
This is unbelievable to me.
Let me help you.
Mr. Chairman.
One of them is Hans-Georg Weiss, a Swiss billionaire who has used various dark money front groups.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Various dark money's front groups to funnel foreign money into American politics. He has used the Berger Action Fund, $20 million, that then sent money to the Fund for a Better Future, that then sent money to the Climate Power Group that has funded conferences you've attended. Do you know who this is? Do you think it's a good idea to attend conferences funded by foreign billionaires?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know the stocks. You don't know the billionaires. You would take no responsibility. Meanwhile, your energy department, executives in your energy department, are trading stocks in companies that they have direct oversight over, and you were too.
That is incorrect. Nobody in the Department of Energy, and we have a strong ethics office, does not trade stocks in anything that they have oversight over.
That is simply not true, Madam Secretary.
Sir,
the Wall Street Journal has reported on
this
extensively.
If I may, Senator, just ask the question, is it possible that maybe we can continue this at a later time, but if you had any questions on the energy, direct energy policies?
Mr. Chairman, this is directly relevant to institutionalized corruption in the Department of Energy that she oversees. You're, I think, about to say that the Wall Street Journal report's wrong.
The Wall Street Journal report did not say that people over whom they were in areas where they were directly overseeing had stocks. They did not. Our ethics office consults with all of our employees that need to be have a reporting requirement about their stock holdings. They do not own stocks in areas that they have any influence over, nor do I.
Madam Secretary, all I have to say is this record is just deplorable. It is despicable. It is outrageous that hundreds of officers in the Energy Department are trading shares. It is outrageous that you misled us. It is outrageous that you are continuing to mislead us. And it is outrageous you're going to conferences and events funded by foreign billionaires using dark money to try to influence our politics. This has got to change. And frankly, you should go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ha ha! Yes! Well done, sir! Touché! Josh Hawley. So this is the future. This is what the future of the Republican Party needs to sound like. Marjorie Taylor Greene from earlier. Josh Hawley from just now. This is what it needs to look like. This is what it needs to sound like. And Hawley should probably, I mean, I don't know, who you like for attorney general more so than Josh Hawley right now, although you may need him as a Senate leader. Rising the ranks. But okay, let's kind of dig into the issue here. Now, what Granholm is engaging in here is basically legal speech where she's making a claim that's kind of true, but she knows that she's misrepresenting. So they could have all these stock options in all these different energy companies, but then say, oh, we have no influence over it directly. Well, they have influence over policy. And so when they shift policy, say we're not going to use coal or we're not going to use natural gas, we're going to go with wind or we're going to go with solar. Well, guess what? They've invested in the wind. They've invested in the solar. So they might not be on the board of the company. They might not actually run anything specifically, but they direct policy. And when they know when policy is going to go which way, then they can invest in certain companies or corporations. If they know they're about to get a no-bid government contract or compete for one, or just with the market moving that way because of policy, they can invest and they can enrich themselves with their stock trades. And that's what Hawley is getting after. And everybody knows it's true. And everybody knows it's true. And just like every other member of the Biden administration, Granholm is corrupt. But okay, the whole thing is based on a lie. That man-made climate change is a threat. Natural gas and coal is a threat. Yeah, there's Granholm laughing in that famous clip. And again, they're lying about gas prices today. We've got that clip too. But let's put that on pause for a second. So the whole thing is a lie. They've been lying to you about this. This is how they enrich themselves with policy. And they use fear and propaganda to pull it off. So you think, oh, well, we need to stop using coal or we need to stop using gas. It's bad for the environment. We're killing the planet. Man-made climate change global warming, and then they shift policy to quote-unquote green new energies that they've all invested in, and then bingo, they strike it rich. Your energy costs go up, and the energy grids collapse. This is from 1982. 1982 mainstream news report. I forget who it is. We'll see the bug on the bottom of the screen here. I don't remember NBC, CBS, whatever it is. CBS, thank you, crew. CBS, March 1982. Okay, does this sound familiar?
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded, along with low-lying areas all over the world. Climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American Farm Bill might be too dry.
Folks, why do people still fall for this crap? They've been playing the same lie for 50 years! For 50 years! In 1982, they claimed 25% of Florida would be flooded. Let's try to pause that on the map if we can. 25% of Florida would be flooded, according to scientists talking about global warming caused by coal and gas. They said 25% of Florida would be flooded. Here's what they told you would happen if we didn't get off of coal and gas. Okay. That's from 1982. Now, did that happen? Of course not. Because they lied. They lied. Just like they lied about the Glacier National Park that they said would be without any glaciers in 2020. Well, they had to remove that sign from the park because it's still filled with glaciers. See, this is what they do. They lie to you, and then they base policy off of the lie, and then they profit off of the policy in the private market. In the private sector. This has been going on since 1982, and they're still running the same gambit, and people still fall for it, even though they've been proven wrong every year, every decade, now half centuries of their lies. It gets funnier. Continue.
All over the world.
Climate
changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American Farm Belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the Earth. Now, some political leaders endorse the demands for more CO2 monitoring stations, like this one in Hawaii. And they share the anger of the scientists at Reagan administration budget cuts at a time when they feel closer to getting definitive answers.
We are not doing the kind of research that we should be doing to determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
And what they find out will affect the lives and fortunes of millions of people. The very survival of cities like this one. David Culhane, CBS News,
The survival! The survival, folks! Al Gore. Have you ever seen An Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore, published in 2001? Everything he says in that quote-unquote documentary has been proven wrong. So he was wrong in 1982. He was wrong 20 years later. He's wrong today. They've been running the same gambit for 50 freaking years. And these morons still fall for it. Now, look, you can go back and you could argue, yeah, there were smog problems and maybe some of the exhaust from older vehicles caused a problem. I'm not completely closed-minded to this stuff. But even the average car that's running on gasoline now is so much cleaner than it even was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. So even the stuff that even the stuff that we use to consume natural gas or coal and create electricity, it's already cleaner. We've already advanced it in technology and how clean it is. It's been advanced. It's been done. We should celebrate this. Instead, they just keep lying to you. And they run the same gambit, and that's how they get rich. And Josh Hawley catches them dead to rights, and she just sits up there, oh, I have no idea. I don't know anything about that. Who, what, where, when? Earth. I don't know about Earth. What's Earth? Just unbelievable. But here's what's crazier. As they lie to you about man-made climate change, there is real man-made, I don't know if you would call it a climate change, but weather manipulation, absolutely. Now, it was probably 2017, and if the crew finds this one, 10 gold stars. I went to a Texas weather modification government hearing right here in Austin, and they were very transparent about everything. It was in a small room. It wasn't like there was many media members there, just a couple. And then there was the local government, and then there was the representative from the Texas Weather Modification Program. And they talked about their cloud seeding and programs to create rain. And one of the big problems that they had at this hearing, and I'm sure the crew would probably find the news stories about the flooding. I think it was 2017. And their cloud seeding program caused flooding, and a lot of the farms actually ended up getting flooded. And it ruined the production. And so the representative was there having to answer these questions and explain what was going on. So, and people say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. But beyond getting into it about chemtrails or contrails or any of that, there is real man-made weather manipulation happening. It is official government programs that they engage in. I'm not even saying I'm against it. If we can advance science and technology enough where we can create the perfect amount of rain or, you know, whatever we need to create the most productive farming season, then I'm for that. But it's this big lie of, oh, man-made climate change. And then they don't actually talk about the weather modifications that are actively ongoing right now that do affect things and cause floods or who knows what else. But yeah, I was at the hearing in 2017 when they discussed this. The Texas Weather Modification Program caused flooding in Texas and ruined a bunch of crop that season. So they had to have a hearing and talk about what they're going to do. That's probably, you look at that and you say, you know what? Okay, that's how you do things. You test a technology that you want to have a good result from. It goes wrong. You have the hearing. You see what went wrong. You see if you can improve it or you shut it down. And the guy who was there with the Texas Weather Modification Program was not hiding anything. He was very transparent. He sat down with me for about 10 minutes and answered all my questions afterwards. And he even admitted, yeah, there's different programs, and they do the chemical stuff at like 10,000 feet. We do some of the cloud seeding stuff at 5,000 feet. Here's what we spray here. Here's what we spray there. So it's like, I've even talked to the officials, and someone will come up to me and say, that's a conspiracy theory. But look at what happened in Dubai. Dubai Airport looks like an apocalyptic movie. Videos here are insane. Dubai grinds to standstill as cloud seeding worsens flooding. So this is all from cloud seeding. So again, folks, we should celebrate this stuff. We should celebrate science. We should celebrate advancements of technology when we can potentially turn a desert into a green paradise. I mean, seriously, we could potentially do that. We can find a way to maximize crop production, farm production in Texas. And we can probably do it where it's perfectly safe for the environment and doesn't drastically change the climate. That's a good thing. But you know what? And sometimes it goes wrong. And so they have mass flooding because they're trying to create rain in the desert in Dubai, and it goes wrong, and they have this mass flooding problem. That's the number one, obviously, side effect, if you will. That's the number one problem. So it happens in Dubai. But my point is, this stuff is real. It actually goes on. There is man-made weather change, weather manipulation. I'm not even saying it's inherently a bad thing. I'm saying that actually goes on. And then we have to sit here and get lectured by known liars and fraudsters like Al Gore and Jennifer Granholm about man-made climate change to make us a slave and kill the actual most productive, efficient energy sources so that they can enrich themselves in stock trading scams, insider trading, and just outright systemic corruption. So, yeah, that's what's going on. It's been going on for 50 freaking years. We're a joke for allowing it. All right, we've got a scene developing here in New York City. Trump is going to be leaving the courtroom shortly, and he's going to be heading to a local bodega. So this scene is going to be absolutely wild. We're monitoring it in live time. The crowds gathered at a spur-of-the-moment Trump trip to a bodega are larger than any Biden rally ever. How about that? And you got families there. You've got dads showing up with the kids on their shoulders. You got people with binoculars trying to get a better view. I mean, this is just crazy, man. This is fanfare. And it's more support than Biden's ever seen. So we'll be monitoring these scenes. I mean, seriously, they're climbing on the scaffolding. They're climbing on the scaffolding to get a look at this. So we'll be monitoring that and those scenes if anything develops there before we're off air here. Remember, folks, shop at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got big sales going on. DNA Force Plus, 50% off the flagship elite supplement of InfoWars Store. DNA Force Plus, 50% off. I take two every morning, two every night. And, of course, Bod Ease, 40% off the ultimate turmeric supplement. In stock, 40% off right now as well. I'm a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. They have my full endorsement. All right, let's look at some other things here. And, of course, Trump in court today. It's all the coup against Trump. There's a great story in The Spectator from Ben Stein. And it's really reasonable. It doesn't really come from a right-wing approach. It's really just a reasonable centrist where, you know, 50 years ago, this is how a liberal would have felt. But it's total weaponization. It's a coup is what it is. It's a coup against Trump. It's a coup against the American people by the power-hungry, corrupt mafia known as the Democrat Party. And now Alvin Bragg is threatening to put President Trump in jail because he leaves the courtroom and he goes and talks to the media. So they're afraid of Trump. They're afraid of what he might say. They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of the American people realizing that Trump's not the criminal. They are. Now they're accusing him of intimidating a jury member, which are all corrupted. The jurors even came out and during the jury selection process, and they were like, yeah, I hate Trump so much I can't be biased. Or excuse me, I can't not be biased. If I'm on this jury, I'm going to be biased. I hate Donald Trump. So they can't even really get a jury because every single one of them is just like, yeah, I hate Trump. I'm going to be biased. So at least they're honest for once in their life, I guess. And all it takes is one to nullify this jury. All it takes is one. But it's obviously so corrupt. These charges were brought up three different times. They were nobody in their right mind would take them at the federal level, at the local level, at the state level. Nobody would take these charges. The statute of limitations ran out. And then Letitia James, who ran on getting Trump, decided to bring him back up. And then since that made Alvin Bragg look bad, then he had to chime in and put more charges against Trump. It's just a giant scam. So now the judge is threatening to hold Trump in contempt if he doesn't show up every day. Alvin Bragg is threatening to hold Trump in contempt if he keeps talking to the media. They're the criminals. They belong in jail for the rest of their lives. All right, Corinne Jean-Pierre, she lies to the people for a living. And Mike Johnson is trying to find a way to get everything funded, and originally he wanted a separate funding bill for Israel because he knew that would get joint support in Congress, so he wanted to separate Israel from Ukraine. But the Biden administration said no. That's why he had to include all of it in this $95 billion bill instead of the standalone bill for Israel that he knew would pass easier because a lot of people don't like the Ukraine support anymore. But here's what Karine Jean-Pierre said about that in clip 11.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has said that he'll move forward with a vote on additional Israel aid. If Congress were to pass additional aid for Israel and only that, will President Biden reject it?
So we've been very clear, my colleagues from here just moments ago, that we will not accept a standalone. A standalone would actually not help Israel and Ukraine. It would actually delay the needs that their needs are important, not yours. That they obviously need to fight. You see what's happening in Ukraine. Obviously, the brave people of Ukraine are fighting against a tyrant. We need to make sure that they have the assistance that
now,
they
we're fighting
need.
Against a tyrant. You work
Israel
for a tyrant.
Just over the weekend and the leadership that this president has shown, it would actually not help them if we do a standalone, and we do not support a standalone.
Pull the liar down. All right, let's go live to the scenes in New York City. This fanfare for Trump is incredible. It's a pop-up rally, if you will, out of nowhere. Trump leaves the courtroom, decides he's going to go to a local bodega, and massive scenes flock to the bodega. This is a bigger rally than Joe Biden has ever had, spur of the moment. And here's Donald Trump arriving. Yeah, guys, go ahead and pump the audio here. Give me full screen.
President Trump greeting the fans that have showed up at the Mexican food restaurant
next
to this bodega, obviously chanting four more years. We've got chants behind us as well. Cheers all around here in Harlem. Now, from what I've been told, let's see if we got a good look of him right now. From what I've been told, he's going to go inside for about 15 minutes or so, and it could be, you know, of course, who knows how long that will be.
Is weed legal in New York City? I think it is.
The challenges.
Is it, guys?
That he faces.
I don't know. I think it is.
A bodega store operator.
Yeah,
and
give
some
me
of the
three of your best blueberry kush free rolls.
And also serious
three of
crime.
Those. And, of course, and then you know, no that Joe Biden hash. I've heard it knocks you right out. No makes you go sleepy, Joe hash. These, we'll get four of those for my friends as well.
Notions like, you know, any kind of violent crime. And so this
okay, so this is incredible. You know, this is really good because I can't imagine. Well, I mean, I guess I can't imagine. I've been there. When you're in a corrupt court case, a corrupt courtroom, and the whole thing is weighted against you, and for you to be able to go out in the streets and get that kind of support and that kind of love, that's good. And that will motivate Trump to keep fighting. And so I'm glad to see it. But folks, this is unseen before in political history. I mean, modern day history. There has never been anything like this. They're hanging out of windows. They're crawling on scaffolding. They're on the fire exits of buildings. The streets are packed for as far as the eye can see on these city blocks. People bring their kids out, put them on their shoulders so they can get a picture. People have their binoculars out. This is just a pop-up rally. Trump just wants to go to a bodega and get a cheeseburger. Get a cup of ramen. And he's out there shaking hands and signing hats, and it's just all organic. And they're chanting USA in four more years. Joe Biden could never, has never, would never, will never. The juxtaposition here is incredible. Let's go to Karine Jean-Pierre lying to the American people one more time, quickly, clip 12.
That's about gas prices. They've been going up over the last month, 20 cents a gallon.
Is the president considering any new actions, like releasing more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve?
So I don't have any new actions to read out. I will note that gas prices remain well below their peak back in 2022. I think that's important. And the average gas price right now is cheaper than this time last year. And that's because of what this president has been doing over the last 3 years.
Yep. The greatest economy ever. Gas prices are lower than, I mean, it's just all a lie. I mean, they just sit here and lie right to your face. And they expect you to believe it. It's truly stunning. All right, we got Trump outside the bodega. He ordered two pre-rolls of Sleepy Joe hash. He's speaking live to the media. Can't even hear him through the crowd cheering.
He's conflicted like nobody's ever been conflicted. This is a very exciting time for me because the bodegas, the association, invited me. And I respect them and they respect me. They want law and order. They have a lot of crime, tremendous crime, where their stores are being robbed. And as you know, we're going to give New York a very good shot for the presidency. We think we should be able to do it. A lot of things have changed. Lee Zeldin did a beautiful job. He ran, he lost by a little bit. And New York's a lot different. And we'll work with the mayor. We'll work with the governor. We'll bring in a lot of money. We have a straight avenue. That includes Bob. These guys are great people, great friends. They're tremendous guys.
Mr. President, in your mind, Mr. President, in order.
You can't even hear anything. The crowd is so loud.
Yeah, no, they believe. I heard 78% think it's a rigged deal. And it is a rigged deal. It's a rigged trial. Our courts, everything is screwed up in New York. And the whole world is watching. This judge is so conflicted. You understand that. You'll take a look at that. There's never been a judge so conflicted. It's just, it's ridiculous. And also, there's no crime. You know where the crime is? In the bodegas, where they come and rob them every week. Or more than that.
Mr. President, what kind of juror in your mind is an ideal juror? In
anybody
trial?
That's fair.
Do you believe that the jury deserves seated
I'll
today?
I'll let you know after the trial, depending on that. You know, we're appealing. There shouldn't be a judge. If you look and you take a look around, a good strong look, every legal scholar, every legal pundit said there should be no trial. This is not, there was nothing done wrong. This is all politics. This is coming out of the White House.
Hey, folks, what do you think would happen if Joe Biden tried to go in a bodega in New York City like this? I mean, this is unbelievable. Give me the audio.
Yes, sir.
Better now than we've ever done. So I think it's having a return. You know what? All I want is fairness. And these people have to be treated better. The Bodega Association, bodegas, because every week they're being robbed 2-3 times. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know what? The police can do it. They can stop it. But they have to be allowed to do their job.
To address the inner cities of America and give them hope to restore the American dream by Atlanta, New York, Philly, Chicago, D.C.
We're going to come in and number one, you have to stop crime. We're going to let the police do their job. They have to be given back their authority. They have to be able to do their job. And we're going to come into New York. We're making a big play for New York. Other cities too. This city.
Yeah, this is this huge city. For so Trump in New York. Really.
Years, 4 years, and we're going to straighten New York out. So, African-American community now is not getting jobs. Migrants are taking their jobs that are here illegally. Hispanics are not getting jobs. Migrants are taking the jobs. If you look at the unemployment is good for migrants now. It went up 10% all migrants. And they're in our country.
You know,
now
I'm telling you, folks, this is huge. You know, this is so big. The Democrats, I've been saying Trump needs to campaign in New York City. The Democrats have now forced him to do so because he has to be in court. And he's going to leave court every day and go to another local establishment, and a pop-up Trump rally is going to break out, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger every day. This is going to be nuts.
They want to keep me off the campaign trail, but
base of what I'm But now he's campaigning in New York City.
I like the police have to be able to do their job. The police in New York are great. They have to be able to do their job. They have to protect these people. Because I just met, look at this young man. And he's got a son who looks like he's a movie star. He's much better looking than his father. And you know what? He says he's robbed all the time. I said, how you doing? He said, well, we're robbed all the time. Look, beautiful place. He's robbed all the time. Nobody's ever said that. It's Alvin Bragg's fault. Alvin Bragg does nothing. He goes after guys like Trump, who did nothing wrong. Violent criminals, murderers. They know there are hundreds of murderers all over the city. They know who they are. They don't pick them up. They go after Trump. Say it. What? I'll let you know in about 2 weeks.
So that's the bodega. A little more information here. That's the bodega. You remember the viral video from, I guess it was a year or so ago. I don't know when it was there. The print on my screen is too small for me to read. But you remember there was a video. The bodega owner gets charged in his shop. The guy tries to stab him to death. And he fights back, and the Democrats and the DA tried to charge him with murder for just fighting back and trying to protect his own rights, his right to self-defense. I mean, that's how insane this crap is. So that's the bodega Trump is at. Wow. All right, go back. Give me the audio.
My numbers are the highest numbers in the history of the Republican Party with the Latinos, with the
immigrant community.
And frankly, the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, we're going to have to do something because no country can sustain it. Remember, they're emptying out their prisons and they're emptying out their mental institutions into our country. These are prisoners and people from mental institutions.
Obviously, President, talking about the need.
So he's going over to the far side now, I guess, to shake some hands, maybe sign some hats. This is really an incredible spectacle here, folks. This is truly an incredible spectacle. The Democrats have now, I guess, accidentally forced Trump to rally in New York City. And my guess is this will not be the last time we see something like this. And what can they do? What there's nothing they can do to stop this narrative. I mean, look at this fanfare, folks. People are climbing the scaffolding. They're hanging out of their windows. They're bringing binoculars. They're bringing their kids. They're putting them on their shoulders. They're climbing up onto awnings. They're climbing onto fire escapes. Trump coming back to the media now. Let's see if he has anything else to say.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up doing so well. We're way ahead in the polls against Biden. Biden has destroyed our country. Look, Biden is the worst president in the history of our country, worse than Jimmy Carter by a long shot. Jimmy Carter's happy because he's had a brilliant presidency compared to Biden. He's destroyed our country between the borders and everything else. He has destroyed our country. Not only that, wars are breaking out all over the world. We'll end up with this person that doesn't. We're going to end up in a world war. So we have to get rid of Biden. We're going to make a heavy play for New York. That's why I'm here. We have tremendous Hispanic support. The Hispanics are supporting me at a level that nobody's ever seen before. We're going to make a heavy play for New York. Also, African-American support. No Republican has ever had the African-American support. So we're going to make a heavy play for New York. We'll work with the Democrat mayor. We'll work with the Democrat governor.
Mr. President, New York City used to be the city that never slept. Now these diners can't stay open at 2 a.m. in the morning.
It's the city that always sleeps. Yeah. We'll get it straightened out. We're going to work with the mayor. We're going to work with the governor. Democrats. I'll work with Democrats. We have to straighten out New York. New York, if it goes any further out, it'll never come back.
What about the gag order?
What?
you believe you violated the gag order?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
There shouldn't be a gag order. Let me just tell you. The gag order is totally unconstitutional. The judge should not be there. The judge is highly conflicted. He should not be there.
Well, you can do that, Mr.
All right. We're about out of time here. This is incredible. My guess is we see more of this. Let's see how the Democrats respond. I mean, they might literally say, if Trump walks the streets of New York, then we're going to toss him in jail. I mean, that's how bad this is for them. They might try to make some sort of a dictate. Trump has to go from the courtroom directly to his hotel or wherever he's staying. I guess Trump is probably staying. I don't know. Is he even allowed in his New York penthouse anymore? I don't even know. So that's kind of a curious thing. But they'll probably come out and the judge will say, if Trump says anything in public, he's going to be arrested. That's how bad this is for them, folks. I'm telling you right now, this is bad news for Democrats. Joe Biden can't even get 100 people at a rally where he fumbles and bumbles through the whole thing. Trump has a organic pop-up rally outside of a bodega in New York City, and hundreds, if not thousands, pack the scene chanting USA, four more years, Trump, Trump, Trump. Trump needs to do this every day when he gets out of court. That was incredible. All right, I'm hosting the Alex Jones Show tomorrow, so I'll see you there. Rob Dew will be hosting this show. Stay classy, Info Warriors.